page Tessa Midbeis, top line. Tessa Midbeis, the top line, which is page 18 over there in the Gemaras. Okay, really, this is a new Gemara. But last time we were learning about the various ways we learn out that you have to add from Shabbos on, from the weekday onto Shemitah, from the weekday to Yom Kippur, the weekday to Shabbos, and so on. So now it says, Tan Rabban, Rabban learnt. Now when it comes to Yovel, a number of things happen on Yovel. Tessa Midbeis, you have it? 18, top line. There's a number of things that happen on Yovel. Number one, slaves go free. Number two, land goes back to its original owner. Number three, they have to blow shofar. Okay? So now the question is, what happens if some of those things are missing? Does the concept of Yovel still exist? Friends, he says as follows. It's Yovel. Even though the people did not leave over the fields. Okay? Meaning, as it says, that they didn't give it back to the original owners. And Alpha Bishli Toku, even if they didn't blow Shofar, it still has the law of Yovel. Okay, so the mission, this Bryce is saying, even though lands didn't go back to the original owner, even though they didn't blow Shofar, it's still a din of Yovel. Now, Yoga Alpha Bishli Shilchu, I would think, even though that they, if they didn't release the slaves, it would also be the din of Yovel. Talmud Leimer, he, it says Yovel he, meaning it doesn't attain the Yovel status, it doesn't become the complete concept of Yovel, unless if they send away the slaves. In other words, even if two out of the three weren't done, it's still Yovel. But if the third one, sending away the slaves, wasn't done, then it doesn't have the status of Yovel. That's what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Rabbi Yehuda Yemer, Rabbi Yehuda says no. It says in the Pasuk Yovel he, even though they didn't get back the land, even though they didn't send off the slaves, it's still Yovel. He says, I would think that even if they didn't blow Shofar, the din of Yovel still applies. It says he. Meaning as follows. The argument that we learned, you need to do three things during Yovel. Both opinions say, if two out of the three were done, it's still Yovel. If the third one wasn't done, then it's not Yovel. The only question is, what is the third one? According to Rabbi Yehuda, it was sending away the slaves. If you didn't send away the slaves, it didn't have the status of Yovel. And Rabbi Yehuda says, if you didn't blow Shofar, it didn't have the status of Yovel. So the Gemara says, the fact that there are two psukim, one adds and one deducts, he is an exclusion. Yovel, he is an addition. So the question is, what's the source of their argument? Why does this one say blowing Shofar is what's important? And this one says sending away the slaves is important. What's the argument? He says, the fact that one pasuk includes, meaning the word Yovel, and one pasuk excludes, which is the word he. Why do I say Yovel he? Even though they didn't send away the slaves according to one opinion. And Yovel is not because they didn't blow. Maybe the opposite is the way. In other words, maybe giving back land is what counts. How do we know that it's this one and this one? Okay, so the Gemara says, the Gemara answers, it's possible that you shouldn't back any send away slaves. Why? Maybe there's no slaves. There's a possibility that you don't have to send away slaves. Maybe there are no slaves working until Yovel.
You're talking about Jewish
slaves. Jewish slaves, yeah. But, Yavshalayelam b'leitzki shofar. You can't not have shofar. You know, shofar is something you just do. So the Gemara is learning as follows. The Torah says, we include a few, we exclude one. Okay? Now, this opinion says, what's the most logical thing to exclude? Something that doesn't necessarily have to happen. What is that thing that doesn't necessarily have to happen? Sending away slaves. Because if you have no slaves, there's nobody to send away. Shofar, you have to blow. Davarach, another interpretation. Zum is sura lebezdin. Blowing shofar is up to Bezdin. Who's commanded to blow shofar? Bezdin. Individual people don't blow shofar in Yovel. Bezdin and Yom Kippur of Yovel have to blow shofar. So what are you going to take that away? But Vizu, freeing slaves, Eina Mesura LeBezdin, is not given over to Bezdin. It's an individual obligation. If you have a slave, you have to let him go. So therefore, the Gemara says, if you have a choice, what to exclude, it's sending away slaves. Either because it's possible that you don't have to send away slaves anyway, if there are no slaves. And secondly, slaves is an individual obligation. It's not up to Bezdin. You can't take away something that belongs to Bezdin. Bezdin is eternal, mm-hmm. so to speak. And the concept of Bezdin is eternal.
Also the fields, what about that?
Everybody sold fields, though.
What if someone didn't know?
The whole Eretz Yisrael, it can't be somebody didn't sell land. It's more probable to sell land than to have slaves. And what slaves are we talking about? Slaves that decided to stay for more than 6 years and to get the ear spirit, you know, that whole thing. It doesn't matter. Chodeg Mari says, "My davar acher." Why does Rabbi Yossi have to say two reasons? He said two reasons. One is because it's possible not to send away slaves. And secondly, he says, because this is individual and this is best. Why does he need two reasons? So he says, "V'chi teimer," because if you're going to say, it's impossible to say that somewhere in the world there's no slave. I mean, he says, even if you want to say that. So he says another answer. Tavaraches, he says another reason. Zum esur lebezdin. So he says a second reason. Because he says also, maybe it's difficult to say the concept that never, nowhere in the world is there a slave that has to be freed. So he says a second reason. Okay, so now the Gemara says, Bishlem le Rabbi Yossi. This answers Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said, what's the main thing? Blowing shofar. So we understand why blowing shofar is the main one. But according to Rabbi Yehuda said it's sending away slaves is the important one. He says, my taima, what's the reason of taima mai? What's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda that sending away slaves is what makes yovel? So he says, Amar Kra, he says as following. It says in the Pasuk, Krasim Drar Ba'aretz, you should proclaim liberty throughout the land. Because Savan he holds, Mikra Nidra Shlefanov, the Pasuk goes before, Vulelef Nefanov, and not after. I'm going to get a Chumash, Chumashim, because then we'll understand it better. Let's just get the page. Okay, on page 698. You look at the pasuk. Okay, mamish on the top of 698. The pasuk says, "Taviru shofar b'chol artzichem." You have to blow shofar in the land. Then it says you should proclaim liberty, sanctify the year, the 50th year. Should proclaim liberty throughout the land. What happens? V'shaftim isha l'chuzasai. Every person has to go back to its original person. V'isha mechzrati teshuvu. Okay. Now. What does that mean? That the concept of the fields go back. The fields go back and the people go back from being slaves. So Rabbi Yehuda holds, now back into the Gemara. So Rabbi Yehuda says, Mikra Nikra Lefanov, he holds, a pasuk goes on before, okay? In many meaning, a later pasuk sheds light on the pasuk right before it. V'leilef nefanov, and not before it. Okay? Now, one second. So when the pasuk If you look in Pasuk Yud, the Pasuk says as follows, V'kidashtem es chamishim eshana, he sanctified the 50th year, and the liberty is proclaimed throughout the land. Now that means all slaves go out free. Correct? Then it says, Yovel he. The Yehuda holds, Yovel he goes on the Pasuk right before it. Meaning, you proclaim liberty throughout the land. The Pasuk about Shefer is two psukim before. Well, it's really, it's in the same part, but first comes Shefer, then freeing slaves, then the Pasuk Yovel he. Okay? Rabbi Yehuda holds, when you have that set up, Yovel he goes on what right before it. What Pasuk is right before it? Proclaim liberty throughout the land that the slaves go free. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda holds, what's the most important part of Yovel? The fact that the slaves go out free, not the blowing of the shofar. Because that's like two things before. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda says, Rabbi Yossi says the main thing is blowing shofar. Either because it's up to Bezdin, because that has to happen, or whatever. But as far as Rabbi Yehuda learns, no, when the Torah says Yovel he, it goes on what's right before it. Mm-hmm. What is right before it? Ukrasim dror ba'aretz, liberty, that the slaves are free. So Rabbi Yehuda says, what's the most important part of Yovel? That the slaves go free. So if there's no slaves going free, you don't have Yovel. That's what he says. The Kasava and Rabbi Yehuda holds, Mikra nidrish lefanav, you learn a pasuk before it, but v'lei lefneifanav, but not to before it. Therefore, Yovel doesn't go on blowing shofar. Yovel goes on freeing the slaves. So the Gemara says, the Kula Alma, now the Gemara continues. Everybody says, Dror Loshen Cherus. Dror means liberty, freedom. Mm-hmm. Now that's the way the English, everybody knows that's the definition of Dror. Mm-hmm. But the Gemara says, my mashma. How do we know Dror means liberty? Mm-hmm. Normally in Hebrew, Cherus is liberty. Mm-hmm. Where do you get the word dror as liberty? Where do you see such a thing? So the Gemara said, the Tanya, because we learned in the Braisa, ain dror eloloshen cherus. Dror only means freedom. Why? So the Gemara says, Amr Rabbi Yehuda says, my loshen dror, what does dror mean? The medayer beidayra, a person could dwell in any place, umeivel scheda b'chol medina, and he can transport merchandise in any place. Meaning as follows. Dirar comes from the word dira. Dira is a dwelling place. Dirar, therefore, means you can live wherever you want and you can do whatever you want. That's the definition of liberty. A slave can't live where he wants and he can't do what he wants. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Yehuda says in the Braise, Dirar means being able to live wherever you want. So automatically, Dirar is a concept of liberty. Because that's the definition of liberty. You can do what you want. So now, that's two opinions. So far we had the Gemara that says Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda holds the main thing of Yovel is sending away slaves. Rabbi Yossi holds the main thing of Yovel is blowing shofar. And if those two are missing, you don't have Yovel. Now the Gemara says, Amar v'chia b'rabba amir Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi b'rabba is the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Zu divrei Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Yossi. This is Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi's opinion. What's the most important part of Yovel? Avol chachamim say shlosh de ma'akviz bei. You need all three to be done. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda hold one out of the three must be done. The only question is it sending away slaves like Rabbi Yehuda holds, or blowing shofar like Rabbi Yossi holds? The chachamim say in order to have Yovel, you must have all three. Why? Kasavar, because of Chachamim hold, Mikra Nidish Lefanov, Vilefneifanov, Uliachrov. They hold, when you have a Pasuk, it goes on before, and after. Now, right before is sending away slaves. Mm-hmm. Before that is Shofar. After that is land going back. So they hold, it goes on everything.
So if you don't have any slaves, then you don't have to get the land back?
Huh?
If you don't have any slaves, you don't have to get the land back?
No, if you can't have it, if you don't have the ability, it's not going to take it away. In other words, if you have the ability and you don't do it, then you did something wrong. If you can't do it, you can't do it. Right. So therefore he says, so therefore the Chachamim hold, it's learned before, and after. So it goes on all the things. But the Gemara asks, Vaksiv Yevil, but we, as the Gemara said before, the word Yevil is an inclusive word. It includes. So, includes even, which it would imply, even if you don't do everything, it's still Yevil.
Yeah.
It's Yevil by itself.
Mm-hmm.
According to Chachamim, it's not Yevil by itself. If you don't do all three things, it's not Yevil.
Mm-hmm.
It says Yevil. So the Gemara says it teaches us, Afilu b'chutz l'aretz, that Yevil has to be kept even outside of Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara says, but it says b'aretz.
Yeah.
It says, in the land is Yevil, and Eretz is only Eretz Yisrael. How could the Chachamim say Yevil applies even in Chutz Laretz? So the Gemara says as follows: Ahu bizman sheneig dror ba'aretz. When there is liberty for slaves in Eretz Yisrael, then neig b'Chutz Laretz. Then it applies in Chutz Laretz. Bizman she'ein neig ba'aretz. If it's not applying in the land, meaning in Eretz Yisrael they don't send away their slaves. Ein and neig b'chutz laretz. There's not obligation outside of Eretz Yisrael. One minute. What the Gemara is saying is, if the Jews in Israel send away the slaves, then the Jews in Chutz Laretz have to send away the slaves. And if they don't, for instance, there are no slaves in Israel, let's say, then you don't have to send away slaves outside of Eretz Yisrael. I mean, today Yevil doesn't apply anyway, because Yevil only applies when Kol Yisrael Aleihem, basically, when most of the Jews, or all the Jews, are living in Eretz Yisrael. And therefore today it doesn't apply, because most Jews are not living in Eretz Yisrael. Okay.
So then, after the redemption, and if
it's not
going to be the slave system anymore.
The one that Samus explains over here, because he asked a very simple question. The Gemara says, he says as follows: what does it mean the Jews in Israel didn't free the slaves? Not there are no slaves. If there are no slaves in Israel, then the guys outside of Eretz Yisrael have to send away the slaves. But if there are slaves in Israel and the Jews just don't send them away, then the people outside of Eretz Yisrael don't either.
There is no concept of slaves now.
Today, no. Slaves, Eved Kananim, Eved Ivrim, only basically, especially Eved Ivri, only applies when there's a din of Yevil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, already midway through the second base of Migdash, Yevil didn't apply anymore. Mm-hmm. Because not all the Jews were living in Eretz Yisrael. Mm-hmm. So then there were no din of slaves. Mm-hmm. What?
No.
Now, what were you saying?
Saying that when Mashiach comes, I was assuming that we won't have the slave system.
There won't be a need for slaves. It'll be a different level of slaves. In other words, Torah is eternal. So Torah is going to be, but not necessarily on the way that we have it now. It'll be on a higher level. Like everybody, there's a famous sikha from the Rebbe. The commentaries ask, If Torah is eternal, how is it possible that when Mashiach comes, we can have the city as a refuge, that if you killed somebody accidentally, you have to run to the city of refuge? Nobody's killing anybody.
Mm-hmm.
Not only are there going to be cities of refuge, but the Rambam says from the Gemara that there's going to be three more. In his Eretz Yisrael, there were six cities of refuge. Then the Torah says, when God will broaden your boundaries, you can have another three. So the Rambam says that never happened. It's one of the proofs in Chumash for the coming of Mashiach. I mean, besides the basis of belief, but one of the technical proofs in Chumash, the Rambam says that Mashiach is coming, because the Torah is not going to say something that doesn't exist, right? The Torah is not going to say, when God will broaden your boundaries, you need another three. If that never happened, why should Hashem say such a din, right? So the fact that now it's so there were six, and when Mashiach comes, there's going to be nine. Not only are we going to have the city, we're going to have even more than before. So the obvious question most of the commentators ask, for what do you need city of refuge? So one of the answers is, for those people that kill people accidentally now, they're going to have to go to the city of refuge for a while. But not that they'll need it for then. So you see, the Torah says a din, or all the laws of chametz, right? If evil will be removed from the world, so then there won't be a concept of chametz. Chametz symbolizes evil, right? But obviously it means on a higher level, let's say between good and better, good compared to better is bad. So Hashem will remove evil from the world, but it'll still be a concept, let's say, of good compared to better is still bad, but it's not bad. In the same thing, it's a different level. So will there be slavery? The concept of slavery in a spiritual way will be. Physical slavery, I doubt there will be. I mean, there'll be karbanis, there'll be sacrifices, there'll be... But it'll be... The concept of slavery probably will be on a higher level. Okay. And then the Gemara says... Okay, that's this Gemara. Now the Gemara goes back to the Mishnah. And the Mishnah says in the Tia that the first day of Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah for the saplings, meaning Arla. Now what does Arla mean? When you have a field, the first 3 years... When you have trees, I mean, the first 3 years you're not allowed to eat the fruits of the tree. And in the fourth year, in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, you have to take it to Yerushalayim to eat. Now today, the dinim still apply of Arla. Arla applies not only in Eretz Yisrael, Arla applies in Chutz La'aretz, it's also rabbinically. Now that means if you plant a tree, for the first 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruits of the tree. It's not only if you plant a tree, if you replant a tree. If you uproot a tree and replant it somewhere, so you buy a lemon tree that's already producing fruits and you replant it, so you have to wait a new 3 years.
And the fourth year?
The fourth year, you have to take it to Yerushalayim and eat it. But that doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz for sure not. No. Another difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz La'aretz is that that's why when you go to Eretz Yisrael, produce is a big problem. Because you have a problem of Arla and Shemitah and Neter Avai and all that stuff, right? In Chutz La'aretz, fruits and vegetables are no problem. You can't eat it. So the question is, how can you go into the supermarket and buy oranges? Maybe the oranges are Arla. So the answer is, in Eretz Yisrael, because it's biblical, doubtful Arla is forbidden. That means it's not allowed unless if you know for sure it's not Arla. Therefore, in the good Hashedim, you know, it always says, it's free from Arla, Neter Avai, you know, all these things. In Chutz La'aretz, doubtful Arla is permissible. In other words, if you know for sure it's Arla, then you can't eat it. You can't even benefit from it. But if you don't know, then the din is, it's mutter. So you go into the supermarket, you're allowed to buy fruits and vegetables.
The person didn't give from the first 3 years. Does it make
you don't give anything.
Or you don't, I mean, you eat the food in the first 3 years. Does it make the rest of the years not kosher?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. Those 3 years, you're not allowed to eat the fruit. you ate the fruit, so you did a sin of eating the fruit. But it doesn't prolong the 3 years for another 3 years. You know what I mean? It doesn't push it off. Those 3 years, the person did a sin. Okay, so the Gemara asks, Minolon, how do I know that the year of Arla begins in Tishrei? How do you know it begins the... Oh, 1 minute. Just got to say the important thing. So now the question is, what happens if somebody planted... like we learned by kings. When does the second year start of kings? The second Nisan comes, starts a new year, right? So the din is, what happens if somebody plants, let's say, 30 days before Tishrei? They plant 30 days before, or more. As soon as Tishrei comes, starts the second year. Because it's the new year for Arla. So you don't want that. You don't need 3 full years, necessarily. Once Tishrei comes, it starts the second year. We'll soon see about Tu B'Shvat. How does Tu B'Shvat get into the picture if it's the new year for trees? Okay? But meanwhile, the Gemara is saying, as soon as Tishrei comes, if you plant the 30 days before Tishrei, Tishrei starts the second year. Okay, you don't have to wait a year from the day you planted it, Tishrei, if it's more than 30 days, 30 days or more. If you plant it 2 weeks before Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah is not going to start a new year. Because it doesn't take root yet, it doesn't take into the ground yet. What?
I asked the same.
Okay. So now the Gemara says, Minolon, how do I know that the din of Arla begins from the Tishrei? So he says, Dichsiv, because it says in the Pasuk, Shali Shanim Ad Elim, that 3 years there should be forbidden fruit. Uvashan Uksiv, and then it says, Ubashan Naharivias, in the fourth year, you take the fruits to Yerushalayim. So what do you see from there? V'yelif Shana Shanim Tishrei. We learn out the word Shana from Tishrei, because by Tishrei it says Mereshis Hashana, from the beginning of the year till the end of the year. So therefore, when it says over here Shana, what does it mean from Tishrei? So the Gemara learns out by Arla it says Shana, by Tishrei it says Shana. So therefore, we learn out the word, the year of Arla begins from the year of Tishrei. By the way, this is the concept of Upsharnish. Why do you not cut the kid's hair for 3 years? Because it's like the fruit of the tree. Other mates are sort of person likened to a tree. And Arla, that's where the minig, it's not a din, it's a minig of the upshanish, because that's when the 3 years you don't cut the fruit. And then fourth year make it holy. Okay, so now the Gemara asks, Veligmer Shana Shana Minisin. So Gemara says as follows. By Arla it says Shana, and by Tishrei it says Shana. So therefore, Arla begins in Tishrei. So the Gemara says, by Nisan it also says the word Shana. Mm-hmm. So if you're likening, because it says the word Shana, learn it out from Shana, Shana mi Nisan, because by Nisan it also says, Rishin hu lachem luchadshe Hashana. It also says the word Shana. So why are you likening it to Tishrei? Because it says the word Shana by Tishrei. Why don't you liken it to the Shana of Nisan and say that the Rosh Hashana of Arla is in Nisan? So the Gemara answered before, Donim Shana Sheini Machadashim, Vein Donim Shana Sheini Machadashim, Mishana Sheyashi Machadashim. The Gemara answer is very simple. By Nisan, it says Chotche Hashana. And by Tishrei, it just says the word Shana. And by Yevil, it says the word Shana. So we'd rather learn Shana from Shana than Shana from Chotche Hashana. Why? Because over there, Chodshei Hashana refers more to the months. Chodshei Hashana is the months of the year. So the emphasis is more on the month. By Tishrei, the emphasis is on the word Shana year. So if you have the word Shana by Yovel, the Gemara says we'd rather use it from Tishrei, which is more similar than to learn it out from Nisan. Then the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan learned. Echad aneteya, whether one plants a tree. Echad amavrich, whether one who bends the vine into the ground. What they used to do, they used to take a vine, a grapevine, and they would bend it into the ground, and that would plant, that would be like a new vine coming out. Mm-hmm. That's what they would do. They would bend it down, and then a new vine would grow out from it. Or, I'm sorry, echad amavrich, echad aneteya, either one that plants a tree, echad amavrich, or one that bends down the vine, ve'echad amarkiv, one who grafts a branch into an existing tree. So now you joined the vine with another tree. The din is, if it was done out of shvius, out of the sabbatical year, shleishim yom lifnei Rosh Hashanah, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, also leishana, it becomes a year. It's considered like a year. And you're allowed to keep it going during Shvius. You don't have to uproot it. I'll explain this whole thing in a second. So if you plant it 30 days or more before Shemitah, number one, Tishrei starts a new year for Arla. Secondly, you don't have to uproot the tree during Shemitah. But Pachetz Mishleishim Yem Lefnei Rosh Hashanah, if it's less than 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, lay also lay shana, it's number one, not considered a year. V'lay v'asa l'kayim v'shvius, and you have to uproot it in shvius. Okay? We learned before in the Gemara that you have to add, remember we learned last week, we repeated it briefly, the Torah learns out you have to add to Shemitah. Maybe you have to add to Shabbos, you have to add to Yom Kippur, you have to add to Shemitah. So the Chachamim learn out by Shemitah is 30 days. Which means, if it didn't take root, and it takes 30 days to take root. That's what the Gemara says. It takes 30 days to take root. So the Gemara says, if it didn't take root before Shemitah, then it's a growing during Shemitah. And you have to uproot it, because you're not allowed to plant during Shemitah. Mm-hmm. But if you planted it more than 30 days before Shemitah, so it already took root before Shemitah, then it's not considered as if you planted it during Shemitah, and therefore a tree that was before Shemitah you can keep. Okay, so the Gemara is not just one last thing. But the fruit of this planting is still forbidden im atu bishvat. That means as follows. It's late, but very briefly. If you plant it 30 days before Tishrei, so as soon as Tishrei comes, it's the new year. Right? Yet when the third year is over, meaning 2 years later, you still can't eat the fruit on Rosh Hashanah. You have to wait till Tu B'Shvat. You don't have to wait until, let's say you planted it Elul, Rosh Chodesh Elul. So before 30 days, right? You don't have to wait until Elul. But once Tishrei comes, you still can't eat it in the third year, because you have to wait for Tu B'Shvat. And next week, we have to, the Gemara is going to dissolve. You have to go on.